There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Got this.
Got it. All right. So who's talking? Am I talking now?
Yeah, just say, you know, so like you're coming off all of us thanking our family, and now you say there's other things we can be thankful for.
Okay.
In the NBA.
Yeah.
All right.
It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to give you some cues.
Let me think. Yeah,
we do an NBA pod, so what are we thankful for?
Let me think of something specific.
You can go last.
Let me do that. Someone else go.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth.
Whee!
I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
Got my sweet jerry box with some shoes on.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bouncy castle?
Hitler.
Just prepare to, be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast, and this is episode 202. Coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana, I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're giving our NBA thanks and venturing again into the undergoogleables. Joining me are our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What's up, undebeatables? This Thanksgiving week, I want to give a shout-out to my family, who I don't see frequently enough, and we'll be in the middle of spending a whole week with them. So, see you guys soon.
Shout out.
From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? It is Turkey Thursday. Drink up.
Eat up.
Coming to you from Eugene, Oregon, out west, our enforcer, John Harper.
What is going on, boys? Shout out Thanksgiving. Shout out fam. Travel safe, everybody out there. That is
all. Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. A lot of people are moving around, getting to see their family and friends, and everybody be safe out there in your travels. Don't drink and drive. Don't do drugs. Stay in school. All that stuff. And if you out there want to let us know anything, you can get in touch with us. We're on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. You can find us on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. I want to start off for my thanks. Very, very thankful for my wife and the rest of my family. And we have wonderful pets and happy all the time to get to spend with them. And all the peoples that I get to spend time with. They're all good people. And you guys, too. I like you guys okay.
Cheers.
Cheers. I actually, on this day, will be with my uncle and grandmother. My uncle's turning 70, and my grandmother's turning 95. So happy Thanksgiving, and thanks to them and my family. So,
shouts out.
Shouts out.
Shouts out.
Unfortunately, I am in Eugene this Thanksgiving because I got to work on Friday, so I don't get to spend it with the fams. But obviously, shout out to the fam and you guys as well. Everybody have a great turkey day. Just watch some football and forget about all the mess that's out there and just be happy for the stuff that we do have.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's going to be some heated Thanksgiving dinners this year, huh?
Oh, yeah. God, racist uncle is going to be in full effect this year, right?
Yeah, be safe, guys. Seriously, man. Oh, dude, man.
Just don't bring it up. It'll be fine.
Shout out civility. That's now 3 weeks in a row. It's not a good sign.
That's right.
What you can do is get a drink, if you drink.
Which we do.
And put on the TV and don't talk to anybody.
There you go.
Always
happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Turkey Day.
So, Coulson, that's a good reminder of what we're all thankful for in our lives. But what are you thankful for in the basketball world?
Two things specifically. One, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Spent some time in Minnesota and always wanted that team to be good. Always root for them to be good. And they've had a tough go since Kevin Garnett left. And they're back and they're relevant. Their record's not great right now, but their point differential is fantastic. And usually that is a harbinger of wins eventually. So I think Karl Anthony Towns is amazing. He's the prototypical new big man. The stories that the big man in the NBA is dead is not true. They've just changed a little bit. Just really excited for Minnesota as a town, and this is a fun team to watch, so I'm thankful for that. And then the other thing I'm thankful for is the NBA in general. They have, I think they're a good organization run by decent people, and they stand for good things. You know, pulling out of the All-Star game in North Carolina is something that speaks to I think who they are as an organization up and down. And I'm thankful to be a fan of a team that stands up for the rights of people. So those are the things I'm thankful for this Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'll second that all day. I was a little bit nervous with Stern stepping down. Not that he was a perfect commish by any stretch, but I feel like Silver's done a pretty good job. And that's kind of surprising. So, yeah, I'm thankful that the NBA is trying to do the right stuff and very happy about our Pacers. I like what we have going. We're moving in the right direction. Mostly, I'm just thankful for Miles Turner. He's just awesome.
Yeah.
Love the big blocks. Love the three-point shot from the big fella. And I love how unselfish and, you know, willing to learn he is. He's going to be a great teammate and a great Pacer for a whole lot of years. So, shout out, Miles.
Shout out.
Yeah, I want to second Coulson's, yeah, and I guess Harper's general thanks for the NBA. It's, you know, I've had my struggles with League Pass this year, but I still get to really? Bounce around the league and watch a bunch of these different teams and I just really enjoy watching the game of basketball. Like, it gives me a huge dopamine rush. I don't know why. It makes me happy. Yeah, and there's so many great sort of storylines and individuals that you can kind of watch. You mentioned the Timberwolves, Coulson. They were playing the Sixers the other night in a TNT game. It was just great to have Thibodeau back in my life. It was a half-empty stadium, so you could hear him yelling the whole game. You know,
even when they were up
20.
30.
Yeah, and he's just, like, yelling at guys to, you know, close out hard and go to work! Go to work! It's so great. It's just wonderful. And I'm thankful for the way the NBA schedule worked, and I guess my ability to go home for Thanksgiving, the Pacers have all home games while I'm there. So I'm going to try to catch at least one and hopefully more of those over the week. Because I haven't been to a live basketball game this year. So I know it's early, but
I mean, even if you went to a Washington game, that's not considered live basketball now, is it?
These days, no.
Yeah.
No, no, no.
Some very successful lobbying from Jason to the scheduling committee. Mm-hmm. Well done, sir.
You spent a lot of time in D.C. to get that, though. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Though. Yeah. It greased a lot of palms.
With all that NIH money.
That's right. Yeah. That would be a huge scandal if I embezzled money from the NIH to...
Yes, that was a joke, NIH. Just a joke. That is all.
I want to give thanks. One is the Fever got a new coach. I'm happy about that. If you guys heard about this, Stephanie White left to go coach at Vanderbilt. So they got Pokey Chapman, which I think is just a phenomenal name.
Mm-hmm. That is excellent. I'm thankful for that name.
Well, she's coming out of coaching the Chicago Sky. So I'm happy about that. John, you know, I like going to the Fever games when I can. You know, you get a cool experience and just go watch a good team play. And John, I know, Colson, I know you and your family go to those pretty often, right?
Yes, sir. My parents have season tickets, so yeah. get to go when I have a night off from work. And I would be lying if I didn't shed a tear or two during Tamika Catching's final game. It was quite the event. Very cool. So it'll be a new era for the Fever without her, but she put us on the map, so yeah. Thanks to her.
And we're not really going to move forward without her. We're going to find something in the organization for her, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, she's been, you know, just an incredible presence in this city. You can't let her
in the WNBA. Go. I mean, she's a huge part of what the WNBA is. She deserves a ton of credit for
and money.
Being such a good ambassador. Yeah.
Yeah, they need to pay her lots of money.
And yes, she deserves also money. So pay her.
And then the other one is, it's the other side of the coin, is it's just the Pacers in general. You know, it's their 50th season. They've been around, you know, the 50. ABA. It's a
We've
big...
been around longer than the Pacers.
Yeah,
We did our 50th show like 2 years ago. What are you talking about?
Are you redropping our 50th show?
I totally will.
Jingle.
There's a jingle in there after Joey said somewhere. 50. Yeah. That's right.
At the risk of being crude, there must be 50 ways to leave your lover.
Choices, 50 chances. We lost the 50 tonight. 50 Cent, the rapper, ordered a grapefruit soda. The waiter brings him a grapefruit soda. And then 50 Cent said the greatest thing anyone could ever say when they see a grapefruit soda. He looks at the waiter and he goes, "Why isn't this purple?"
But the team, you know, this is it's, you know, I've lived most of my life in this city, and it's been a huge, you know, it's just always been there, obviously, because I'm less than 50,
barely.
But
you turned 55 this year. Didn't we drink to that?
No, I said I couldn't drive 55. Remember?
Oh right, okay. My memory's going. I'm old.
Yeah. No, that was me drinking 55 beers. I had 55.
But, you know, the team is a representative of this city. And, you know, even though the players change, you know, how the city rallies around, you know, players and teams. You know, I still remember we were at Reggie Miller's last game. And, I mean, I'll never forget that. That was amazing how, you know, the city and the state came together and just, you know, sent him off because that's, you know, you know, this is like a second home to him because, you know, he spent time here and we all, you know, we love him and a lot of these other players that have come through and, you know, come out to show, you know, who we are to them. So,
Yeah. Shout out Indiana Sports. Like, I no longer live in Indiana, but obviously I still claim all these teams and we, by and large, do a great job of just getting great people. I mean, from Reggie Miller to Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck to Paul George, it makes it very easy to keep rooting for these teams. So shout out Indiana for having a culture where being a good person is important.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I guess along that line of thought, to December 10th, I think, is Basketball Day in Indiana. Mm. And they're showing...
I thought that was every day.
Well, it's it's officially on the books now, I think it's December 10th, at least this year. And there are three high school basketball games, and it's like an organized thing. And I think they're all on Fox Sports. Then there's the Butler game and then a Pacers game. It's just one big event. And then they're down on Georgia Street. They're having, you know, like the outdoor, they're broadcasting from there, sort of like an outdoor party all day.
So it's are the games event, all so. In the field house?
So I think some of them are going to be in the Butler, at Butler.
Okay, gotcha.
And then some of them will be, I'm not sure which ones are which, but some of them will be at the field house.
We assume the Pacers aren't playing in Hinkle Fieldhouse.
That is my understanding.
Awesome if they did.
That would be great.
I was going to say. Sweet, man.
Yeah.
Pay a premium for that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Sure. Oh, yeah. Just jack up the prices. I'd go there.
Sure.
I love getting the prices jacked up on me.
Sitting on a bleacher instead of a comfortable chair for way more money. Yeah.
Sure.
So Gene Hackman comes in before and measures out the distance to the rim.
And I guess along with that, too, was the last thing I got was last night was one of the Hickory Nights, as of recording, the against the Suns. But the you know, director and the writer of and the stars of the Hoosiers movie were out on the floor. They had a little halftime thing, which was pretty cool, kind of. And how many of those guys actually, you know, were from Indiana or have moved back to Indiana? Is pretty cool. So,
The last thing I'm thankful for is that nobody said they were thankful for James Harden. So thanks, guys.
I thought that was implied.
I was just waiting to shout out James Harden.
Yeah, no, I was sweating. I was afraid somebody was going to be thankful for the beard, and I'm glad they're not.
Can I be thankful for the beard without being thankful for James Harden?
Yes, that's fair.
What's your beef, Colson?
I just don't like James Harden, all right?
All right.
He and I have a thing.
Does he
knows
that?
What I'm talking about. Yeah, he knows what I'm talking about.
It's like some Twitter beef. That
you know what you did, James Harden.
The unfortunate thing is Colson's incapable of having Twitter beef just because...
I can't use Twitter.
Couldn't reply.
Apparently, if you tweet at the president-elect now, he'll tweet you back. So I should learn. I could have a direct line to the White House.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can now have the ear of the president via Twitter. This is Thanksgiving, not sad time.
That was a happy thought. I just have to learn how to use Twitter.
I think they're having classes at the library on Thursdays.
It's now officially called the library.
The library. Oh, it's official now. Yeah. Well, I think that was part of our infrastructure packages. They were going to have to move to R. Somebody's got to pay these people to go out and remove that.
Well, it's a cost saving measure, right? It's one less letter that you have to print
exactly
in all of these official government documents.
Those big black letters on the front of that building.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Spending. Wasteful Democrats with their letters.
That's why, actually, that's how America became great in the first place. Is we, you know, in British, they throw all these extra U's and, you know, stuff into, you know, color and glamour and stuff like that.
Favorite.
We got rid of those. I mean, we saved so much money.
Yep. Make America geet again.
Moving on.
Please do.
Yep.
I got one last thing that I'm thankful for, and I like a lot of our local musicians. We've talked about them in the past, and I think we did mention and featured a song a couple weeks ago from Sirius Black from the new Nightcrawler album. The last one was Static in the Rain. It's out now. It's you can buy it on iTunes, and I really recommend that you do because it's freaking awesome. This song that I'm featuring here, Black Magic, super good. I've been listening to it most of the week. I got the new Tribe album and the Nightcrawler album this week, and they're both super fun. It's good stuff. So we'll get a link to pick it up in the show notes, but get out there and support your artists because they do great work, and if we don't support them, they will not do what they do. So shout out to Sirius
Black.
Shouts
out.
In this game, you never quite know how it might go down, down, down. Ignore that existence like we were invisible.
We were invisible, we not invisible.
You can watch it all shine when the lights go
black magic.
No, we don't need shit from you, we don't need shit from you,
we don't need shit from you.
No, we don't need shit from you, we don't need shit from you. Ignore that existence like we were invisible.
We were invisible, we not invisible.
Watch it all shine when the lights go
black magic.
Ooh, when the lights go
black magic.
Ooh, when the lights go
black magic.
We're back for the break. Thanks again to Sirius Black for his new track. Yeah, got I think 4 albums now on iTunes, and there's plenty of stuff you can check out on SoundCloud. Also,
pick up the
there.
Whole discography. The guy is awesome. Absolutely love Sirius Black.
And then also, we have other good news. One of the good friends of the show, Scoot Dubs, has got a video and a new track coming out
in
the next couple weeks. Yes! So, it's going to be awesome. This is like a 5-second, I don't even know if it's a teaser. What's below a teaser?
just a tease.
It's exactly. We got one of those.
Yeah.
But it's stuff coming out soon, so I'm really excited about that as well.
Yeah, now I am too. Sweet.
Yes. And
amazing.
Next thing we got coming up, we've got my stat of the week.
Joey's stat of the week.
This week, we're talking about Miles Turner. You may remember him from being the starting center of your Indiana Pacers. And Colson, you mentioned not too long ago the Pacers are number one in shot blocking, with the best shot blocker on the best shot-blocking team is Miles Turner.
Does that make him MVP?
As far as I can tell.
Or at least Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Just don't use other metrics besides blocks for defensive
right.
But right now, he is blocking number one. He's number one in the league. He's blocking 7.2% of available shots that are taken on the floor. He blocks over 7% of total shots. Put that in perspective, Anthony Davis, 6.4. Hassan Whiteside, 6.2. Clint Capella, 6.2. Gobert, 5.9. And point guard Antetokounmpo, 5.5. He's killing it this year. You know, I feel like he's getting, you know, 2, 3, 4, like, highlight blocks, too. And he's getting a lot of these little fingertip ones that just, you know, that adjust it. And they don't make it, but also it's really exciting to see him like flying off of the out of the weak side and just swatting into oblivion. And you know, against the Suns last week, I think he's such a presence right now that he was running back to on a fast break to defend against one of the guards, and basically just by being there, he didn't even really put a hard effort into blocking the shot, and they missed it. I think just because you know. Just his presence is known.
Scared of his shadow.
Yes.
Yeah, the amazing highlight blocks do over time have an effect, right? Nobody wants to be on the wrong side of the sports center. And the longer this guy does it, the more that's going to be the case. He's going to be affecting shots, you know, certainly within 5 feet of the rim and eventually maybe further than that. I had this memory that Roy Hibbert, and I apparently completely imagined this stat, at one point was blocking like 9% of shots, but the highest block percentage that Roy Hibbert ever had in his career was 6.7.
Whew. Wow.
And Miles Turner is higher than that right now. So this guy can absolutely have an effect on our defense.
Now, no, I think you're right, Harper. I think it was that high. That's over a season, probably. I think the first half of that 1 year where he was the Blockosaurus, I think he was up at like 9.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I forget that he only played half a season every year.
Yeah, he fell apart. You're not forgetting. That was right. He was up. I think it was like 12% at some point.
Yeah,
but and guys were shooting. That was when, like, he was Blockosaurus.
Yeah. And he's actually at 6.6 so far this season, so.
Oh, hey, shout out Roy Hibbert.
I mean, I'm sure that he'll play, 82 games this season, and that'll go up, if anything.
Yeah, so what were the numbers that you threw out at the beginning of the season, Colson, for Turner? It was 18, 10, and 2 and a half.
18, 9, and
15, and 6.
No. 18, 9, and 2 and a half is what I think.
Okay. So he's currently, after 13 games, at 15, 7, and 2.4. Plus a steal. Almost a steal a game.
Mm-hmm.
So not quite hitting those benchmarks. But he's doing well, I think.
And it does feel like he's getting better, right?
Yeah, no, I feel like the kid gets better every game.
Yeah. And maybe this might be the silver lining of Paul George being out a little bit. Like, maybe right now this is kind of Miles Turner's team.
Yeah, we'll just ride him for the next couple weeks or whatever.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, let him get his reps. Sure.
I mean, I don't think that anyone expects us to rip off a win streak against the likes of the Warriors, Clippers, and Hawks without Paul George, right? So if he does sit, then let Miles burn it up and let's...
What did he do against Phoenix? It was like 22 points and 9 rebounds on really efficient shooting. We could do this.
I mean, he's shooting 56% from the floor this year.
Yeah. Shoot more, buddy.
Yeah, right? Yeah, he's only taking not even 11 shots a game, which is...
Yeah. I think my preseason, let's be careful about this thing, was Miles Turner being too much of the offense and being too quick to shoot. Not the problem. I'm going all the way the other way. Let that dude shoot every possession. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. There was that one. He also does some crazy athletic stuff. There was one, I think it was in the Phoenix game. He had the ball in semi-transition, and he did this awesome stop, fake, and then spin around and do a jump shot kind of thing. It was, that probably didn't come through on radio as well as it was on video, but it was, it was impressive.
On my wish list, though, I'm still looking for better rebounding from the big fella.
Sure.
Him and Thaddeus. Obviously, that's just something that we're going to be harping on all year. But both of these guys have played so well early. I mean, in some sense, it's disappointing that we're at where we're at record-wise with them and Paul George playing perfectly well. It's a little disappointing that we haven't been a little bit better in the win and loss column, but I think that stuff comes, right? And, the most important thing in the first third of the season for me is always build the talent, build the team, right? So once we get into the second third, we can start talking about bringing stuff together, but right now we're building blocks are fine.
Thaddeus Young and Miles Turner both knocking on the door on top 25 Pacers of all time. In the Colson list, the top 35, top 25.
Miles Turner's sitting in my smoking room in a Barca lounger in my top 25. He's all up in there.
Oh, he's already in there.
Woo!
Yes, Haywood Workman has been de-seated.
Poor Haywood.
He's been de-Barca lounged.
He's saying, all I did is, play hard for one season and then ref the NBA.
I hate refs. Come on, man.
I don't know if we mentioned this season, but last year there was a George Hill had the backpacks promotion with I think Indiana Members Credit Union. Every free throw he made, the backpacks go out to children in need around the city.
Yeah, when he missed a free throw, he'd scream, backpacks!
Yeah. So this season, he's gone. So they've taken it back up with Miles Turner, and so every block he gets, backpacks go out to those kids. And I think that's kind of fun. It's exciting, too, because, you know, he gets this big swat, and you get excited, and some kid gets a backpack. So
I keep it up this year. That's very cool. Yeah.
And I love that Connie calls them block packs now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I do.
Shout out, Connie. So after he gets a block, he should just scream, block packs!
Yes. Right.
That will terrify opponents everywhere.
Exactly.
Be the king of trash talk.
Colson, you're under Googleables. I enjoy it every week, and I'm hoping, again, you got something for us to just make up a bunch of things for.
We doing under Googleables?
That was the plan.
Super excited.
You told us we had to,
so. You said we signed up for it.
In the end, it's going to be better and more true than Google can give you.
It's lighting the internet on fire, I think, is what's happening.
Is that the question? How to light the internet on fire?
Take a match.
I actually know this one.
Joey does know this one. Give Colson a hyperlink to your computer.
So I don't know. This one may have come from you, Joey. Just because, or maybe it came from Sharpie. But this week's question is, why are dogs' noses wet? Does anybody know the answer to that question?
Why are dogs' noses wet? I mean, I think it has to do with how they sense the world, right? At some level.
Makes them better smellers. Does the moisture help your smelling?
Yes.
Okay.
I can't smell underwater. Explain that.
And dolphins can't smell.
Smell underwater. And dolphins do not have a sense of smell. That's true.
Right.
But there are certain cues, so there are cues which you call volatile cues, right? Which are aromatized.
Colson, you got us going deep now.
Yeah. So those things are in the air, right? And so you don't need them to be in liquid. But there are a whole other set of odorant cues that are soluble. So they have to be in a liquid for you to taste them. And so dogs, especially, they do a lot of communication through scents, right? So if you ever take your dog for a walk, you notice they'll sniff and they get right up in there and absorb almost that stuff on their nose. And then even they have a whole nother system called the accessory olfactory system that humans don't even have, where they'll actually lick and pull their tongue into their mouth and then shove it up into their nasal cavity, basically. Yeah.
What?
To access. Yeah. And so lots of pheromones and things like that are those type of cues where you have to have very close contact. So that's my theory, is that it has to be, it helps with the perception. Yeah.
That didn't sound much like a theory there, buddy.
I was going to go with something.
We brought the scientists to the table.
Through their nose and there's humidity or something.
I thought it was
what Jason said.
Yeah, exactly.
So truth be told, we have joint lab meetings with a group that works on the olfactory system. So,
let's see. So props to you.
Yeah,
this is why people come to the Undebeatables to get knowledge.
But I don't know if that's why but that doesn't explain why the exterior of their nose needs to be moist. I mean, maybe at some level it does, because it helps rivulet things in there. But.
So my dog, actually, his nose will get really dry in winter and it drives him nuts. So I think it's a sensitive exterior surface on a dog in some sense.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it'd be like the equivalent of humans getting chapped lips or something like that. Right?
Or dry eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a heat thing that they were expelling. I mean, you know, like when you sweat, you feel cooler. Like I don't know. That I guess that doesn't make sense. But I thought
dogs
it was kind
don't
of
have sweat glands. They only sweat through.
Yeah,
their
dogs
tongue.
Can't sweat. Yeah,
that's why they pant.
That's why they pant. Panting is more effective for.
Okay.
That I think.
So they don't have sweat glands. So that actually, no. So they're. They would get cooler through a wet nose then, wouldn't they? If the wind, breeze, and sort of thing. That's probably not why it happened evolutionarily, but...
That gigantic tongue is...
Yeah,
I mean,
better.
Maybe there's an aspect of it, but the gigantic tongue is a more effective distributor of heat, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Because their nose doesn't take up a ton of surface area either. Yeah.
Sure. So. Unless you're Sharpie.
Right, yeah.
Old big tongue Sharpie, we called him.
Yeah. So, I'm thankful for Jason, who knows crazy stuff.
That's awesome.
That was amazing.
I don't even think we need to Google this.
I'm not Googling that. We will not find a better answer on Google than that. Which makes Colson's prediction correct. We are better than Google.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the top hit is that...
Was it our website?
Oh, no. Yeah. So one of the reasons, apparently, is... for a temperature control at some level.
Good. John's random theory actually is...
Yeah.
Pans
but
out.
Then also it's... yeah, so they'll sniff and then lick their nose and then pull that in. And
Yeah. I see them do that.
Yep.
Okay, so they're absorbing smells, just like you said, into the liquid stuff that we can't smell out of the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is super dope.
Cesar Millan has 5 reasons.
Okay, what are the 5?
1, because they secrete mucus. That's why
but
they're
wet. That's not a why, that's a because.
Yeah, that's right. These are because things. And 2 is because dogs tend to lick them a lot.
No, that's not why they're
3 is
wet,
because
that's...
it helps them to cool down. 4, because dogs' noses tend to pick up moisture. I think that's the scent thing. Or no,
I mean,
they're just saying because
that begs another why. Why does their nose tend to pick up moisture?
And then 5 is because they're born that way.
Oh, man. I don't like
come
that
on,
website.
Caesar.
Come on, internet.
Genetics and other factors.
I feel like they told him to write an article about that, and he's like, I got 1.5 maybe.
Like, Cesar, we need
see
5.
If I can make 1.5
stretch,
into 5.
Just vamp
that. Well, the thing is, like, how many times have you read one of those list articles when it says 1.5 reasons why anything, you know?
I think that should be our new website. 1.5 reasons why, ..
But in the general consensus seems to be it's for smelling and regulating body temperature.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Bam. That's what
and
we
because
did.
Because they're born that way.
It's
born that way, man.
So I really like this next question. How many NBA players are left that came straight out of high school?
That's a good question. We have at least 3 on the Pacers.
3?
Yeah.
Monta Ellis, Al Jefferson.
Al Jefferson.
C.J. Miles.
Oh, yeah. C.J. Miles came straight out of high school?
Yep.
Yeah, he...
Oh.
Texas.
Okay, well, that's... I didn't know that. Well,
so there's 3.
Fun facts. There's 3.
And LeBron James.
LeBron James and Dwight Howard clearly are the 2 I thought of immediately.
Kevin Garnett's retired.
Yep.
Kobe retired.
Kobe's retired. I think that's why this is a question, probably. All the... High schoolers are retiring. Baby Al retired.
So I think Monte Ellis was the last year. So he's like 30 now.
Okay, so what was the year? Because was it LeBron James' year? Didn't they like keep
LeBron's.
The thing open until LeBron James got drafted, and then they're like, all right, we're shutting it down?
Yeah, I think that's the thing.
Conspiracy theory mode?
Yeah, it was right around. It was either that year or the year after that.
I thought it
so
was.
He was drafted
I thought he
in,
was in the last class.
Okay, so he was drafted in what, 2004, 3, 4?
I thought 5? 4.
But I could 04, I think.
Okay.
Which would make
sense. So you
got to
be 30 or older, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I mean, it's just There's three on the Pacers. We'll assume that's the sample set. There's 30 teams, 90 dudes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So we have five, and three of them happen to be on the Pacers. There's got to be more. There's got to be more than that.
Yeah, there definitely have to be more than that, I would think.
There definitely are, but, I mean, even back then, I didn't feel like it was that common a thing. I think that...
Right, exactly. And a lot of guys...
We are a statistical outlier.
A lot of guys washed out, too.
Right.
So I don't think the number's got to be that high. I mean...
So would you say it's over under 20?
Yes, definitely.
I think the over-under is 25.
No, I think the over-under is 15. That's what I'm
going
with.
Ooh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Because when you think about
the,
it, like...
Are you checking the odds on this one?
Well, no, but you think about it. If you know, the average NBA career is, what, 5 years? And, you know, we're now, whatever, 12 years away from... you know, I just think you're... And you said yourself, Harper, that it's not... It wasn't that
only
rampant.
At most, a quarter of the guys drafted... came straight out of high school. And that's
that
super
high.
It wasn't
number.
Even that high.
Yeah.
And like, look, a lot of guys did wash out, but all of those guys had ridiculous talent.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sure.
So you can get a long way.
But I mean,
like,
you think
can be
like
a bench player in this league with not great skills, but great athleticism.
Well,
so.
Andrew Bynum, you know, out of the league. I mean, there's a, you know, a lot of guys. Who else would be out of high school?
I'm going 25. JC or JT, what you got?
I think it's probably around 20.
20?
Yeah.
Gafrida, got a number?
Oh.
Man, I'm going low.
Gerald Green. He came straight out of high school, right? Is he still in the league?
He is still in the league.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
All right, so there's six. We got six.
I don't think we're going to be able to count them all.
No, I'm just trying to say, like, if I can...
I'm gonna go.
I can't think of that
what was,
many.
What was yours, Jason?
20.
All right, I'm gonna go 15. I think it's low.
You and JC.
I'm going
or...
lower than you, Joey. I'm gonna go
14.
No.
I was gonna go 12.
I'm gonna go 12.
You're going 12.
That was my original number.
So you think that we have a quarter of the league's guys?
Yes, I do. I really do.
I think we're
so. I mean,
a statistical aberration.
Is Darius Miles still in the league?
No.
No, okay. So, I mean, I'm running out of guys I can even think of. And I feel like we should be able to think with these guys.
I think we're... Harper, well, I think you and I are way over. So
I mean, that may be, but I'm pretty sure that if you ask someone who's not a Pacer fan, if CJ Miles came straight out of high school, the answer would be, I have no idea. Or
yeah, I didn't know that.
And why are you talking to me?
So the 2005 draft was the last one to allow high school players.
2005, okay. And when LeBron was drafted, when? 2004?
Four, I think. And there have been a total of 44 players drafted straight out of high school.
Ever. So like you're talking about Moses Malone.
Oh,
like
wow.
Way back.
That is surprising.
I think, according to my brief Googling, hold on. According to Wikipedia, there have been 44 NBA draftees straight out of high school.
Three of them are
there was like a big,
So I mean, what
surge toward the end?
Sure.
For the record, LeBron James was the 2003 draft class.
Okay, all right.
So it went on for two more years.
Huh. Okay.
I can't find a list of active players, though.
I've got a list right here, actually.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Well, I've got the list of all of them.
Is Corleone Young still in the league? I did not know that was a thing. And Duty Ebby? Who are these people?
Tyson Chandler. Came straight out of high school.
Forgot
so
about
he's
him.
Still in the league. So there's seven.
Okay, Amir Johnson.
Amir Johnson came out of high school. All right. J.R. Smith came out of high school. So that's nine now.
Lou Williams.
Okay, Sweet Lou.
It's ten. You counted Gerald Green already. Is Martell Webster still playing? I don't think so. Darrell Wright?
He's got to be on a team somewhere, right?
I don't think he's still playing basketball.
Darrell Wright's not playing anywhere?
What about Josh Smith?
Josh Smith.
Didn't he retire?
Martell Webster is on the Wiz.
Okay.
Yeah, Martell Webster's done in 2015.
Okay, Sean Livingston, he's still playing.
Right.
So that's 11.
Robert Swift? Robert Swift?
No, he's out of the league.
James Lang? Doobie Eby?
Sean Livingston? That's amazing.
Dasania Giap? Does that count?
No, he's not in the league. Andre Blatch, is he still in the league? No, he's on the Flying Tigers.
He's in A-League.
All right, so 11 is what I've come up with. So I'm closest to the pin. What's up?
You guys got J.R. Smith?
Yeah.
Yep. 11, okay. Wow.
And so, three of them are on the Pacers.
That's really strange.
That's a fun question. I like that question.
Yeah, that was good. It's a significantly lower number than I would have thought. The total number. That were drafted straight out of high school.
Also, the Pacers had like all of them. We had Bender, we had J.O., we've got three right now. Like, we had a lot of these guys.
Kendrick Perkins, there's 12, sorry. He's still apparently in the league.
Who does he play for now?
The Pelicans.
Oh, really? Okay.
Play is a strong word.
I nailed it.
You did.
They're paying him money.
Did nail it.
That was impressive, Colson.
Thank you.
Let's get into the game of the week here, guys.
Game of the week.
No, it's not. This week, I'm gonna pick a game against the Los Angeles Clippers, which is gonna happen on Sunday. Of Thanksgiving weekend there. Pacers hosting the Clippers, who, and the reason I'm picking this game is they are currently the best team in the NBA as we speak today. They're 11-2, and they are just drubbing the crap out of people on a regular basis. Some really nice ones in there. They got the band back together. So Chris Paul, J.J. Redick, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, their core four, if you will. And then Al-Farouq Aminu playing... no, not Al-Farouq Aminu. Is it Al-Farouq Aminu? Yeah, playing small forward.
No, he's in Portland. It's Luke and Mbah Moute.
Luke and Mbah Moute. I always get those dudes confused.
I do, too, every time. Same guy.
Yeah, basically the same player.
Playing defense.
Yeah. So this is going to be an interesting challenge for the Pacers, I think, because they obviously are a super good team, but they also have the things that we really struggle against, which is a really good point guard who can get into the lane and cause havoc, and then also two big guys that can affect the game, right? Usually we can handle teams that have one big guy, but these guys have both Jordan and Griffin, who by all accounts is playing phenomenal basketball this year. Are you guys anything else you guys are looking forward to in this game? Any matchups you see we can exploit potentially?
I'm just interested to see what Miles Turner's got. I mean, we haven't gotten to see him enough yet against really elite competition, and this is definitely that. Whether they throw Jordan on him or Griffin on him, he's going to have his hands full out there. So I'm interested to see what he brings, and I know that he's going to step up to the challenge. So this should be really fun to watch.
Yeah, I don't know that it's going to be fun to watch. I think it's going to be a bloodbath. I think we're going to get slaughtered. I mean, I just don't. Chris Paul is playing still at a pretty elite level, and can pick apart a defense, a really good defense, and we don't have that. So I think they're going to slice and dice us.
Yeah.
I really hope Paul George is healthy for this game, because otherwise it's going to be a massacre.
It should be noted, when you said that they've been dismantling other teams, they're on the season point differential per game is 14.2. So
they have, my goodness.
Yes, they've been hurting other teams badly.
Wow. Yeah. The other thing is that this team, always their Achilles heel has been their bench. It's kind of like they had four guys, but then they would struggle if any of them would go down, or if the bench had to play extended minutes. But they kind of have solved that problem this year a little bit. I mean, they brought in Ray Felton and Maurice Spates, and those guys are playing good ball for them. And really bridging that second unit and allowing their first guys to get rest, you know. Or maybe because they're blowing out teams, they're also getting a lot of rest. But given that our second unit hasn't quite found its identity or anchor, that also spells trouble for us, I think.
Yeah. But I also think that this team will regress to the mean a little bit. And we're the third in a 6-game road trip for them. So, I mean, as well as their plan, who knows when it ends. But we're going to be in a position where we can pick one off.
Mm-hmm. So let's do it.
So let's do that.
Yeah. Yeah, they look by us, and, you know, we've got a good team.
So larger picture, do you guys think that the Clippers can challenge the Warriors or the Spurs this year?
I think they can in the regular season, but
okay,
you're still knocking them for never getting out of the second round.
No, I mean, prove me wrong. No, don't. But but I mean, they've shown year after year that they have a great regular season team, and then they find new ways to lose in the playoffs. So
Look, they have to get the 1 or 2 seed this year. And then if they do that, I think they can get to the Western Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in as much as the Warriors have been a little bit underwhelming, how many games have they actually lost?
2.
2 games. And they're just now finding their stride. I don't see this game, or this team rather, picking off a top 2 seed in the West. I don't see it. And I agree that they really need that to get where they want to go. So I'm have not seen enough that I think that they're challenging for a finals berth at all.
Yeah, because no matter what, it seems like they're going to have to go through either the Spurs or the Warriors.
And potentially
to play one of those teams in the Western Conference Finals, right?
Yeah. That's
unless somebody pulls off a first-round upset. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And that's been the story of this franchise for the past decade, right?
Well, this is their last chance, though. This is their last chance. They're going to break up the team if they don't get to the Western Conference Finals this year. So, I think they're going to play with that desperation, and I think I'm going to go ahead and predict it right now. They're going to get to the Western Conference Finals for the first time.
Yeah.
In their team's history, and in the first time in Chris Paul's career.
I'm going to go the exact opposite direction and say, not only do they not do that, but Doc Rivers will keep this team together stubbornly. And they will do the exact same thing for the next 4 years because they keep keeping the band together. Because he refuses to break up a squad.
I think the Spurs they're going to look closely at the standings come later in the season, and they're going to tank to get to wherever they need to be to play the Clippers. If that means dropping to 6, like, they'll do it. They don't care. Yeah.
Sure.
They, like everybody else, they want the easy path to the finals.
Sure. But can they drop to 6 is the question. Do they have that gear? Can they drop it down that far?
Is their neutral slow enough? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Dude, San Antonio is undefeated on the road this year. Oh, so are the Clippers. Ooh, that's not good. That means they're due for a loss. Road loss. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they got a 6-game road swing. They're going to lose at least 1, probably 2 of those games.
Right.
Now let's be one of those then. Let's do it.
That's the plan.
Let's do it.
All right, squad. Let's get out of here.
I got to go eat some turkey.
Oh, yeah. I don't, but
Well, no, it's Thanksgiving. You probably should not eat turkey still.
Buddy.
Yeah, good call. Darn it. Yeah, there's plenty of mashed potatoes for you.
Oh, I know. I'll have plenty of those.
Without gravy.
They can make a little gravy.
It's not as good.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Get out of here so I can get drunk and fight you.
And that's the name of the show.
You can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website is TheUndebeatables.com. You can review us on iTunes. It really helps new listeners find our show. Thanks to everyone who's done that. We've got t-shirts for sale on the website.
For a once and always coach, now in the Hall of Fame, Bobby Sick-Leonard. Turn out the lights, the party's over.
Is that in the vocal stylings of Nobel laureate Bob Dylan?
Yes, it was. Nice. Shout out Bob Dylan.
Who, by the way, is not going to the ceremony.
Yeah.
He's protesting his own entry. He's a previous engagement. He's like a prior engagement. It's like, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a scientist, but if the Nobel Committee calls, you rearrange your plans and you go.
Everybody be safe out there in your travels. Don't drink and drive. Don't do drugs. Stay in school. All that stuff.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.